This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Real quick, Mike and I were talking about this, and Connor does such a good job of not only covering the dogs, but just, you know, his perspective. When I asked if this kid is a game changer or a program changer, because that's what you want at all these elite schools, Ohio State, right. Alabama, Georgia, you've got all the other ingredients. Do you have a quarterback that can take you over the top and change the complexion of your program, maybe win a couple of natties? And he said, well, you know, Georgia's already there. And here's the thing that just is bugging Mike and I about this whole process. And look, it is what it is. But as a fan, you want me to get overly excited about a guy that we may not even ever see play. And this is why we talk about the NIL portion, or at least the transfer portal portion of what's going on in college football, is broke. It didn't used to be this way. Now, that doesn't mean it's not better. But, Mike, the idea that we used to get excited about the, hey, this kid's coming, we're going to get a chance to see him play. And even if it was one for 1 year and the kid realized it wasn't for him, okay. But now you just brought up Dylan Raiola, who was all the big thing up at Buford, and everybody's like, oh, he's going to Georgia. Didn't play it down for Georgia, and everybody got all excited for nothing.
Yeah, he pulls the rug out from under you, goes back to Nebraska. And it just seems like, you know, and guys, for you new to the show, all four kids getting paid, all four kids making some loot. But we got to have some kind of, I know the guardrails is the phrase which has been used the last couple of years, but there's got to be some kind of stability. Because as you said, I mean, why should you care? Get all in. Remember, guys, remember like how people would go bananas on the first National Signing Day?
Absolutely.
Now we have the early signing period. Now everything's kind of been diluted. Then you've got the transfer portal. Heck, FSU had a kid come in December and he was gone in April. You know, so it's just, it's lost. It's like, it's lost its luster. There's no reason, as you said, you know, as a sports fan, whether you're a fan of the school or you went to the school, that emotional connection. You know, why do I care about this stuff? Especially some of the kids, you know, I got to be honest with you. I don't know, as I said earlier, talking with Connor, I don't know Jared Curtis from Adam. But if you've got a kid on the hook from Texas who's playing against better competition, why isn't that kid prioritized over the guy who's got slightly better measurables playing against lesser competition?
Yeah. And my guess is they put the equal amount of time into both because you don't know which way this is going to go. I mean, you can have a sense, but we know this. You know, the kid gets up there and puts on a different hat. It goes different.
And that's, yeah, you know, that's another thing. Look, I get it. They're young people, and it's an exciting time to be able to go take your journey to the next step, which is college. But it also drives me crazy because it's so, you know, it's gotten away the last couple of years from the hat game where you have like three or four hats, and now you've had grown men whose lives depend on your decision, and you're basically treating it like it's a joke. So some of that's gone away, but still, the whole process just stinks to the high heavens.
Yeah, I hope they get the best player for them. Like, Georgia, get the best player that you think is going to help the program, and hopefully that's just Jared Curtis' kid. But the process, man, we were sitting here talking about it, and I'm like, I used to get up early, and recruiting has always been a big deal in my life because, again, played high school football in Texas, and it was a big deal. I used to get up early, Mike, to see what the recruiting was looking like the day of signing day, because you knew if we got this guy or he comes here, it's going to change the whole complexion of this thing. And now I got to be honest. I don't do that because I know a kid may sign. He may be gone by the next season. And you just, it's hard for me, and I'm a hardcore guy, man, when it comes to high school and college football. It's hard for me to get excited about that aspect of it when it used to be such a big deal. You would go find the list and look at everything that was going on, and, oh, this kid's coming from Arkansas, and this kid's coming. For what now?
Right. And look, I get it. You know, Stetson Bennett is an amazing story and probably still deserves more credit than he got. But remember, you guys, remember how everybody was hanging on Jacob Eason's every word, every thought? Remember we used to joke around about Mark Rick would fly cross country? Like, hey, Jakey, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey to go have breakfast with him. And at the end of the day, the dude was here. I mean, played basically 1 year. You know, played 18 games, and at the end of the day, it was 16 touchdowns, 8 picks. And he was going to reinvent football. Remember that?
Of course. All right. We're just talking amongst ourselves.
Yeah, yes, we are. It was better. But, no, it just seems like you want all this to lead to something that's meaningful. And this young man, like Jared Curtis, says, I signed on the line. He's going to be at Georgia for 4 years. You said you don't even know he's going to make it a semester.
No, no. All right, guys, let's talk real quick. We're going to do more of this as we get close to the schedule release. Big day, by the way. Always is on this show.
You going to go to Berlin if they go? You already got a vacation plan.
A vacation plan.
There's a slim chance we can play the Colts. We'll get to that division later in the month, but right now we're looking at the NFC West.
So Rams and Seattle. Again, we don't know when, right? But we know they're on the schedule. Rams guys were a playoff team and a hair away from potentially going to Super Bowl. Look, I think if the weather's better, they beat Philly. I know you think I'm crazy. They were in the game. The weather played a role in that, but that's football. But it's a 10-17 that has the youngest defense in the league, and they got their quarterback back, which was the biggest part about this in Matthew Stafford. And then, Mike, you know, they go draft Mykal Williams. So we're going to have to deal with that, just like, you know, they're going to have to deal with Jalen. But I think they improved. They had a lot of picks, but that's the one everybody's talking about. And then the Seahawks, we know the change there, right? They go and they sign Sam Darnold. They move on from Geno, but that was a 10-win football team as well. And so you start to say, all right, those are the two teams I'm really concerned about. But it was a down year for the 49ers because of all the injuries.
Yeah, and again, we said this earlier. I mean, they pick up Mykal Williams, which is a bit of a surprise because, as we said, we thought Jalen would go first. But the way the luck of the draw, and certainly John Lynch, they earmarked this guy to be the next guy to sort of revitalize their edge rushers, which are getting long in the tooth. But, yeah, you got a quarterback, Brock Purdy, that nobody believes in. Certainly we don't. Maybe he does. Kyle Shanahan, that's the only voice that matters. But you've had a guy in their star running back, Christian McCaffrey, can't stay healthy. So, Carl, to me, it's almost like, do you do a soft reset if you're the 49ers? Because you're kind of dealing with some tough cap decisions last year. You had linemen, not to mention your skill position guys. You had to figure out how to play it. But the team which I'm still concerned with the most when we play the Rams. Because you remember, guys, the Rams, if they don't fumble the football, that was the one team that gave the Eagles trouble.
Yes.
In the postseason. Because obviously the Eagles, they took care of business against the Commanders, and the Super Bowl was what it was. But if you remember, the Rams, it was a real heavyweight fight, big plays. That running back, when he fumbled, Williams just wrecked it all. But that Rams team is still, to me, I think they can make one more run the last ride for Matthew Stafford.
I do too. And I think they win this division this year. I mean, unless Sam Darnold again throws 35-10, and, you know, the Seahawks defense, I will tell you, it's going to be a challenging week. I'm telling you right now. The draft, I love their draft, and they were really good last year. I think they're going to be better this year. But those are the two teams, Rams, Seahawks. I'm not as worried about the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. They had a decent draft. They went Walter Nolan at 16, Will Johnson at 47, should I say, Jordan Burchett at 78. I think their draft was okay, but I still feel like they're not quite where the Rams or the Seahawks are. And the 49ers right now is a mystery based on how this team's going to look without some of those weapons we got used to seeing last year, or the last couple of years for that matter. 404-726-0929. But when the schedule's released, my guess is if we have to go out west, they'll probably do that in back-to-back weeks, and maybe the Falcons end up staying out there as they've done in the past. That way, I don't have to make that trek all the way back home. You know, if we have to play them on the road, maybe it's Seattle and the 49ers in one road trip. I say one, but, you know, two separate weeks. But we'll see. Either way, we're going to get two of those teams at home, two on the road, and we're going to get a chance. I believe that's what it is, if I saw it correctly. But those are our teams as far as the NFC West. And you're wondering every year, if you're just, you know, tuning in, the NFL does this. And this is why when we get a chance to play, like, for example, the AFC North, like last year, the Steelers, we don't get a chance to see the Steelers that often.
Right.
And so when they do the division breakdowns of who you will face, it's always fun to look because you know you're going to face you in your division twice, right? Saints, Carolina, obviously in Tampa. But what else does the schedule look like? And, Mike, this year it's the NFC West.
Do you feel Seattle – do you fear Seattle with Sam Darnold? Do you think Sam Darnold's going to – can he do – and again, do the same thing he did with Minnesota, maybe put some numbers up, and then when it comes crunch time, he spits the bit since we just had the Kentucky Derby?
Nice reference. I don't fear Seattle. I do think they're going to be a good football team. They feel like they're going to be a better football team. And that's saying a lot because maybe they felt like they were limited with Geno. I don't know. But Geno's going to be starting with the Raiders. So, you know, the crazy thing about that is we'll get a chance to see what happens and plays out there. Raiders won four games last year. There's a lot of work to do. That's why Pete Carroll's doing what he's doing out there. And they're going to have a running game now with Genty, hopefully. But I just feel like, look, the teams that I'm worried about on that schedule as far as the NFC West, right now, Rams and Seahawks. The 49ers, you said it is a soft rebuild, Mike.
Right. Out to San Francisco for folks now. Again, if it's the right time of year, you right breeze out there. Day-Day takes his wife out there. They do wine country. Maybe hang out in Sausalito, see where the cookies are made. And then they go visit Alcatraz before they reopen it. And then you go watch the 49ers play. Wouldn't that be exciting?
It's a great trip.
Yeah, it really is, man.